this time. Matthew chapter 2, the familiar text. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures, presented him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. A familiar story. And I think of familiar characters. If we were to ask most anyone on the street, I think they could, like the children, tell us some parts of that most fascinating story about the wise men. Most people up and down First Street would know something about those guys. But there are so many questions that we don't have answers for. Who were they really, and where did they come from, and what about that star, and where had they been, and where were they going, and where did they end up, and were there three of them, or were there more? So many questions. Many Christian and scholarly writers have attempted to answer all of those questions and even more. The preeminent, I guess, writing about the wise men is entitled The Revelation of the Magi. The copy that I have was published in 2010, but supposedly this was an ancient manuscript from the 2nd and 3rd century that was found in the Vatican, and it wasn't until 2010 that it was translated for us. Now, it is a complex, rich, but very strange narrative. The book, The Revelation of the Magi, supposedly was written by the wise men themselves. It was their personal account of what we just read from Matthew. The book talks in very apocalyptical ways. It talks about the prophecy and about the star and about the journey. It is a very bizarre book. I like better our folklore, or at least Western Christian tradition, that says there were three wise men, and they did have names. The tradition says Melchior and Balthazar and Caspar. But now, Eastern tradition is a little different than Western tradition. It says that there were not three wise men, but 12 wise men that journeyed in the caravan. Now, the word magi is never interpreted king. We three kings, and they look like kings, but that's not the translation of the word. Magi is rather wisdom, wise men, or even priests. You confused yet? Some say that the Magi were non-Jewish, Middle Eastern, Zoroastrian priests who came from Persia. Others said, no, because of the star, these must have been Chaldean astrologers who would have come from Babylon. And still others say, you're all wrong. They're Nabatean merchant princes who came from northern Arabia. International scholar, I love his name, the most reverend Benedict Thomas Viviano. If you have a name like that, you need to write something. The most reverend Benedict Thomas Viviana says, we're all wrong. They weren't men. They were all women. Now we understand. That makes more sense. They weren't wise men. They were wise women who knew exactly where they were going and what they were doing and remembered to bring the gifts to stop by and to make it to Bethlehem. All of this to say, we don't know. We don't know much about this story. Only Matthew tells us the gospel account of these wise men or kings. Or women. But Matthew gives us enough. I think Matthew's gospel tells us at least three great truths for us on this new year. Here's the first. The Magi sought after Jesus. Verse 2. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Then later in verse 9. After talking to the king, they went on their way, following the star, and it led them to the place where the child was. These Magi sought after Jesus. They sought after Jesus. Jesus, the King of Kings, the one who would be known as Lord of Lords, the great Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Savior. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. They sought after Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the great light. Wise men seek Jesus. And I submit today that wise men and wise women still need to seek Jesus. After Jesus. Oh, what a change it would make in our world. What a change it would make in your life and in your family. What a change it would make in our church if this year we said more than anything else as a church, we will seek after Jesus. We won't follow behind Jesus. We won't get in front of Jesus. We will spend our time seeking, oh God, what is your will? What is your way? Oh God, we long to know Jesus. We long to seek him with all that we have and all that is in us to seek after Jesus. It will change us. It was Jesus himself who said, why do you worry about what you drink? And why do you worry about what you will eat or what you will wear? God has this. God will take care. But seek first. Seek first his kingdom. And these things will be added to you. Seek after Jesus. And have you thought, Luke 19 says, Jesus said, for the Son of Man comes to seek and to save us. So not only do wise people seek after Jesus, but I think wise men and wise women pause and realize that as much as we seek after him, he is seeking after us. Isn't that amazing? That God, the God of all creation, the God who gave us Christ, Christ our Savior, seeks after us. And something amazing happens when we are seeking after Jesus and Jesus is seeking after us. We're going to find each other. We're going to find each other. And in 2021, you want to be wise? You want to be wise? Longingly, passionately, earnestly, let's commit with all that we have, with all that's in us, let's seek Jesus. Seek him in our knowledge. Seek him in our head. Seek him in our prayers. Seek him with every ounce of our being. To seek after Jesus. Be wise. Follow the example. Seek Jesus. But that's not all they did. The Magi not only sought after Jesus, they worshiped Jesus. Verse 2. Where is that one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw the star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Verse 11, they came into the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped Jesus. Scripture is filled with calls to worship, calls to worship God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We are called to worship this triune God. Wise men and wise women know the need and the desire. Wise people know the longing and the fulfilling that occurs when we worship our God. Psalm 95, come, let us bow down and let us worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. The psalmist said, come, let us worship. I believe our corporate worship at First Baptist Church, I believe it is good and it is pleasing to the Lord. Now, we don't always bat a thousand. some weeks, though John and I plan and pray and try to get it right, some weeks we strike out, and that's all right. But I appreciate those who are committed to worship, those who lead us in worship, and those who participate in worship as we sing, as we pray, as we give, as we study Scripture. But your worship and my worship must be greater than this 1 hour, this one time, once a week. If your worship experience, if your worship is only what happens in this hour, on this time, if the only time you are seeking to worship in the presence of God is right now, then you are worship deprived and you are worship anemic. This year I challenge you, each of us, to examine our own personal worship, those personal moments, those times of prayer, those times of meditation, those times when you seek after Jesus in worship. You see, wise men and wise women worship Jesus every day, moment by moment, in everything that we do. Paul said in Romans 12, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know, COVID has definitely affected what we do in worship, corporate worship. And I'm grateful that we have live streaming. I'm grateful that right now, I hope hundreds of folks are in their home, around their computer, at their television, with their iPhone, experiencing and doing worship with us. I'm so grateful that we have that opportunity to virtually worship. But listen, I refuse to buy into that fact that, you know, it's just as good as being there, that I can worship just as good. No, we need each other. We need this experience of corporate worship. We need to hear each other's voice. And listen, the day will come where we can see each other's faces and we can see a choir and we can worship with full voice. We need the power and the presence that we experience when we experience worship. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We need that. The Magi worshiped Jesus. 2021, be wise. Be wise and commit like never before to make worship a priority in your life. Whether it is home during COVID or whether it is here with us with masks and socially distance, make worship your own personal times of worship, your own personal times when you have God's word and you have prayer and you're singing there by yourself. Worship. We commit to excellence in worship, that our worship must be as good as it can be as we worship our Savior. The Magi, smart, wise men and women who sought after Jesus, who worshiped, and who gave to Jesus. Verse 11, they came to the house, they saw the child, they bowed and they worshiped. Then they opened their treasures and gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Giving is worship. Giving and worship are uniquely tied together. Oh, the gifts they gave, the kids knew it. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm not sure how old I was. Maybe I was, it was the primary department, we called it back in ancient days. The first and second grade Sunday school department, the primaries. But the Sunday school teacher said, and I'm sure my parents had said it before, but the Sunday school teacher on that lesson, I remember it so vividly, said, now, boys and girls, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And being a rather outgoing first or second grader, I said, what? She said, Mark, it's better to give than it is to receive. And I went home and told my parents that Sunday school teacher's not very smart because that doesn't make sense. I want to get. I don't want to give. And I think my parents made me go to my room. You know, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. No, it wasn't. As a first or second grader, I didn't get it. And then I became a teenager and I had all the answers, and the same Sunday school teacher probably said the same thing, and this time I said, dude, no, it is not, no way, I'm a teenager and I want to get, it's all about me, I want to get, and it's not more blessed to give, it's just not. I thought they were on another world, didn't make any sense. The last part of my seventh grade year, I fell in love with that beautiful senior in high school. And I wanted to give her everything I had. I wanted to give her my bicycle. I gave her eight-track, wonderful eight-track tapes of John Denver. I gave her, I even rode my bicycle. This is terrible. I rode my bicycle to the cemetery and took some fresh flowers off several graves and gave her these roses. They were beautiful. They were just laying there at the cemetery. And I figured out it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. But I wanted to receive too. But and then I got married, and then we had children. And I told Aurelia, why didn't someone ever tell us that it is more blessed to give than to receive? It is more, as a parent, as a spouse, it is more blessed to give. Indeed, there's nothing like giving, not only to your children or to your spouse or to your friends, but is there anything more blessed than giving to God through your church? This week, the last week of the year, folks have been sending in offerings and coming by the office, and one of the men came, and I said, thanks for stopping by. And he said, it's the greatest joy of my life, being able to give to my church. Many of you would say that as well. The widow Jesus saw, she gave all she had, and he stopped what he was doing, and he told his apostles, look at her. She gets it. the Macedonian believers. Remember their story? Paul, 2 Corinthians 8, Paul said, "Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace of God that God has given the Macedonian churches in the midst of a very sincere, severe trial. They're overflowing with joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. I testify they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They pleaded urgently with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to God's people. They gave exceedingly. They gave more than they should have given. They gave of themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, they gave to us." Paul then wrote this: "Since you excel in everything, you excel in speech, you excel in knowledge, you excel in faith, in complete earnestness, you excel in love, see to it that you also excel in the grace of giving." Wise men sought after Jesus. Wise men worshiped Jesus, and the wise men gave. I'm going to encourage you in 2021 to be wise, to continue to give of your tithe like you've never given before. We haven't closed the books on 2020 financially, but you have been so faithful. In this unprecedented year, when only half of us at best have been able to gather, you have found new ways to get us your dollars. The U.S. Post Office or your app on your phone, you've been so faithful to give. And I want to encourage you to continue to give in this new year, but not just giving of your finances. Last January, I preached about spiritual gifts. God has given every single one of you, all of us, spiritual gifts. Everyone, every believer has at least one. Some have more than one. God gave you those gifts not to edify yourself, but to build up the church. I want to encourage you this year to find those spiritual gifts, to take those spiritual gifts that we've set aside perhaps during COVID, and to use those gifts in the church. Give them to the church post-COVID, to give your gifts. Let's use those gifts again, and yes, to give your time. As we come out of COVID, we're going to need all hands on deck. We're going to need all folks coming back as we worship, as we go, as we minister to our community. It's going to take more of us than ever before, more committed, giving our gifts, giving our finances, giving ourselves. 2021, a year of giving, it is more blessed to give than to receive, and we perhaps are never more like Jesus than when we give of ourselves. Wise men, wise women, they give. 2021, oh church, be wise. Be wise. Give extravagantly. So all week, after putting up all the decorations and leaving these three guys out, deciding, do I give them to Goodwill or do I hang on to them? I've been singing, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." John said, "You want to sing that?" I said, "Oh, no, no." Maybe they weren't kings. And perhaps there weren't three of them. Maybe there were 12 of them. And if they had names, why did they choose those names? Maybe they were priests. Maybe they were 12 girls. Zoroastrian, Chaldean, Nabataean, I don't know, but I like the song still. Yes, there are more questions when I read Matthew chapter 2 than there are answers. But perhaps we know enough. Wise men, wise women, seek Jesus with all their heart. Wise men and wise women worship with all that they have. Wise men and wise women, they give. to Jesus. How wise are you? 2021, be wise. Shall we pray? God, you are so faithful when we are not faithful. You are so giving when we are selfish. You are so loving when we are loveless. You're so forgiving when we don't forgive. You are our ever faithful God. This year, a new year ahead of us, unknown, we long to be wise. We long to be wise. And like the Magi of old, we can do that. We can be wise when we seek after you. We can be wise as we worship you and as we give. We can't outgive you, but we can give. Oh God, you are faithful. May we be faithful. May we be wise. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.